Colossians chapter number 1 this morning. It's good to be back. I appreciate you guys praying for us while we were gone. Thank you to all of you who filled in and watched the service. It looked like it went well. I did miss being in my church. I'll be honest. I don't like to be in anywhere else other than my church. I know sometimes we have to improvise. We were in church Wednesday night. Had a good time. Preacher preached a good message, but there's no place like home. Amen. I love my church, and I'm thankful for what the Lord has given me and given us. And I'm looking forward to what the Lord is going to continue to do with us. This morning, Colossians chapter number 1. The Lord has given me a message to preach this morning. And I kind of want to answer the question, will you continue in your faith? Will you continue in your faith? Now, we know that faith in Jesus Christ for salvation is something we have no choice but to continue in because God said He would keep us. Amen. And we're thankful for that. But how many times do we see men and women and boys and girls fall away from the truth and the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ? They get in, they're on fire, they get in their Bible, they pray a lot, they do a lot, they get involved in their local church, they get involved in a ministry, they stay busy. And by the way, that's the easiest way to stay involved, is to get busy, amen? To lose your faith, you stop doing what you're doing and look around at everybody else working, wishing you were doing it, envying others. Just get involved. But this morning, I wonder, will you continue in your faith? Not will my husband, not will my wife, not will my son, not will my daughter, will I continue in my faith this morning? I want to try to help you on how you can and maybe some reasons why we would fall away from that. Let's pray this morning and we'll get into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you. Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. We know without you, nothing would be. Lord, we're so thankful that everything is possible with you. And Lord, I'm thankful you're the God on the mountain and the God in the valley. I'm thankful, God, that you are the one, Lord, who comforts us in time of need and time of trouble. Lord, thank you for just being a God that we don't deserve. Lord, we know that greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life. Thank you for sending your son Jesus for me. Lord, if he had only died just for me, it would have been such an unworthy death. But Lord, I'm grateful he chose to do so, so that I could be saved. Now, Lord, I just ask you to cleanse me of sin now, empty me of self, fill me with your Spirit this morning. Allow me to preach to your men and your women, Lord, and your ladies and gentlemen, Lord, how you would have me relay the message. But Lord, I don't want them to hear me. I want them to hear the Holy Ghost of God this morning. And Lord, may we be a church, Lord, that continues as a whole in our faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we have one vision, and that vision be to see souls saved. I'm thankful for the vision and the work that you've done here in our little church in Red Level, Alabama, Lord, but I'm not satisfied with everything. Lord, I would like to see you do more. And I know you said, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Well, Lord, we're searching for those great and mighty things. Lord, I know there's still souls to be saved and lives to be changed and healing to be done. Now, Lord, just use us. Use us as individuals, as families, to help this community, to help our town, to help our state, to help our country, to help our world, Lord, see the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Verse number 23, Colossians chapter 1. If you brought your Bible, say amen. 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 Colossians 1 in verse 23. This is Paul teaching here, or he's preaching to the church here. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his, what church? That'd be us. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. I like verse number 23. The Bible says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope
of the gospel. Think about the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. Think about what you have. You have the hope of eternal life. You have the no-so salvation. Amen. Our Bible's not a hope-so, maybe-so. It's a no-so salvation. You have the hope that one day things are going to be better for you and I. We have the hope that this is not our final destination. And all God's people said, I'm thankful this is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Hey, I have a heaven waiting for me. You have a heaven waiting for you. How do we know that? Because of the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in no other man. It's in no other woman. It's in no other thing. The hope is in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. But this morning I want to ask you the question. Will you continue in your faith? Many of us from a very young age have been taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many has been in church pretty much your whole life? Raise your hand. You're raised in church. Listen, don't take that for granted. That's not a bad thing. You find generations of people today, my age and younger, many of them have never stepped foot in a Bible-believing church. You say, how is that possible? Easy. The church is not doing its job by going out and getting the next generation. We're failing to do what God asked us to do. Our commission was to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You say, I'm going to keep my faith. Well, listen, your faith, yes, it calls you to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But listen, when you got saved, that same faith should be taken and given to others. The faith that you have in Jesus Christ should excite you. It's not a dead faith. Everybody okay with that? It's alive. The Holy Ghost of God is alive in you. The Bible says He quickened you. He made your spirit alive. And now we've been commissioned. We have a job and we wonder why. Can we go into all the world and say, look, listen, I promise you, I dare you to go out this week and just go stand at Walmart, go stand at McDonald's, go stand at the grocery store and just ask 20 people. I guarantee you, you'll find at least one or two out of those 20 who've never been to church. I've never been to church. I don't want nothing to do with church. Church just isn't my thing. How is it they can live in a place like Alabama where you can throw a rock and hit the next church? And if you got a good arm, you can throw that rock and hit another one right after that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Everywhere there's churches all over the place. And for people to live in an area where churches are so prominent, but not very dominant. You see what I'm saying? They're prominent. There's plenty of churches. And look, yeah, there's plenty of churches, but if you look at the history of all these church here, church here, church, you know what happens? Most of them used to be one church. And then they split. Now we got how many? And then those got mad. Now we got branches and branches and branches of church, and it all used to be one unified body. They're prominent, but they're not very dominant. How's your faith? We've been taught that faith can move mountains. How many has heard that before? You've been taught faith can move mountains. We've been taught that faith can do the impossible. Hey, you read your Bible and you can see that faith in Jesus Christ can do the impossible. You live long enough, I guarantee you, there's miracles in each and every you and my life. I guarantee you, everybody here has a story of something. Hey, if God had not done this, this would not have taken place. We could go around the room right now. We could raise our hands. We could tell stories of things that God has done that man was not capable of doing. I've seen it over and over and over and over again. Listen, I pulled up on an accident one time. I was working in the fire department and we got a call and this tractor trailer had rolled over and it came across the radio that the tractor trailer was pancaked, meaning it was flipped upside down and squished like this. We rolled up on scene. And I'm telling you, a newborn baby wouldn't have fit inside the cab of this truck from the look of it from the road. So we automatically assume the worst. Aren't we good at that? We're so good at assuming the worst. I pulled up and I said, oh my goodness, this is a recovery, not a rescue. Well, we got down in the ditch and I was looking and I kept seeing a little flicker of a light inside the cab. I'm like, what should have been the cab, Brother Scott? It wasn't really a cab. I mean, when I say the truck was probably about this tall now. I'm tractor trailer just gone. Couldn't have put anything in there. But I kept seeing this flicker of a light. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. Maybe there's a flashlight in there or something flicking. I mean, I'm thinking, and I walked around the cab and I hear a voice. Help me. Help me. And I looked in there. I got down like this and I looked up. And in the passenger seat, now not the driver's seat, the steering wheel's through the driver's seat. In the passenger seat, there's a little area of that's kind of U-shaped like this right here. Just big enough for the body of that driver to be in. Guy had one scratch on his ear. Who did that? Man took a look at that and said, no way. God spared his life. Why? I don't know. I've seen miracle after miracle in my life. How about you? Have you seen enough to continue in the faith that you started in? We've seen God do the impossible. We've been taught that faith can save us. And by the way, there's no other way to be saved but by faith. Amen. But why is it that many of us fall to the wayside? Hey, just like I said, we could all raise our hands and tell us stories about great faith that we've seen and miracles of God. Hey, I'll be the first, Brother Tim, to raise my hand and say, hey, I've fallen by the wayside before. And all of us could raise our hands and say, I've been on that boat too, Brother Drew. I've fallen by the wayside. I've let my faith slip. But why do we let our faith slip? How are we going to not let our faith slip? Go to the book of 2 Timothy with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Folks, we're living in what we would call the end times. We're close. We're not there yet. Biblically, we can't be. But I'm telling you, one fact is we're closer today than we were yesterday. Amen. Jesus Christ is coming again. We're not living in a day where we have time as the local New Testament church to quit on God. We're not living in a day where we have time to disagree with God's word. We're living in a day where our faith must be dominant. 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not," what church? "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded." We sing that song, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him." Hey, are you convinced? Are you persuaded that God is able? Or is it something where God has maybe put you in a testing period and all of a sudden God's not true anymore? Hey, God's promises are always true. God's provision is always real. His presence is ever so near. He said, I'll never leave. Listen, God's promises don't change because of our circumstances. Paul said, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the faith, or the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love which is in Jesus, or Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. How am I going to keep my faith? I'm going to have to learn to continue in my faith even when I'm suffering. Even when I'm suffering. There ain't a single one of us here who live on cloud nine every single day. And if you do, let me in on your secret. But we don't. We have good days and we have bad days. But hey, the song we sing, God on the Mount. Hey, does that change just because our mountaintop goes to a valley? No. Why does our faith change? Well, because we in our flesh are not getting what we want. And let me tell you something. Your faith's going to go away as soon as you start appealing to your flesh. The lust of your flesh is not necessarily sensual lust. There's a lot of lust out there that isn't sexual or sensual. There's a lot of things out there that are just not good for the body, that are just not good for the eyes, that are just not good for the ears. And let me tell you something, when we get in a circumstance that we cannot control, if your faith, if you are grounded in the Word of God, in your prayer life, in your Bible. I'm talking about grounded. I'm not talking about reading your couple of verses. I'm talking about grounded, earnestly trusting in the Word of God, earnestly trusting in the providence of God, in the promises of God, understanding we have a preserved Word of God that's perfect. If your prayer life is good while you're on the mountain, you will not have wavering faith so soon when you head into the valley. You will realize that God really is the God on the mountain, and God really is the God in the valley. How about Moses, for 40 years, had to put up with Israelites? Moses fled away. Moses did bad things, but you know what he realized? He was still God. How about Joshua? When he was sitting there saying to people, like, hey, we don't want to do it your way, preacher. We don't want to do it your way, Joshua. And Joshua said to this, he went home. I could picture him talking to his wife and to his kids. And he said, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do it God's way. He said, this is what we're going to do. As for me, he said, you choose you this day whom you will serve. I can't choose for you, but I can choose for me and my house. And we're going to serve the Lord in the hard times. We're going to serve the Lord in the good times. Why has your faith got to waver? Faith should be strong all the time. How can I continue in the faith? I must continue in the faith in my sufferings. Can I say this? You must learn to abide in the truth of God's Word. Flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, over just a couple chapters. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is a portion of Scripture I always love to preach from. I love looking back. How many reminiscing on the old days, like when you were growing up as a little boy or a little girl in Sunday school, and you remember how exciting it was to hear Noah and the Ark the first time? Or maybe, when you're in VBS and you come out and you build that little thing and you say, what is that? Oh, this is Moses at the burning bush. You're pumped up to tell mom and dad about, you ain't going to believe this. God told Moses, take his shoes off. He's standing on holy ground. A bush burned and he heard from God. You believed it. It was exciting to you. You believed it. Dad, mom, did you know Daniel? He prayed morning, noon, and night. And that king told him, if you don't stop praying, I'm going to throw you into a den of lions. But Daniel just kept on praying. And the king threw him into a den of lions. And God shut the lion's mouth. You think God's still able? He most certainly still able. Why can we be excited about those things then? But now we hear those stories and we're like, Noah and the ark. We know Shem, Ham, and Japheth got their wives. They got on the boat and they lived. Great. Good story, preacher. Hey, you know what's happened? Your faith's wavered. That used to be exciting to you. You used to love the story about the three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fire. Because before the king they would not bow, but they said, listen, king, let it be known, we serve a living God and we're not alone. I know my God can do it. To him there's nothing to it. I know he'll see me through this sweet victory. Even when storms are raging, he is the rock of ages. I know that he is able. Mighty is he. Hey, they marched around the walls of Jericho. They knew that they would fall. Why? Because God told them so. Just like he worked for them, he's working now. My God will never change because he has great power. Hey, do you know your God can do it? Hey, he's still capable. This thing is still exciting. Hey, heaven's still real. And if you're saved, that's your destination. It should still be exciting to you. How can I continue in my faith? I must learn to abide in the truth of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says this, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. How long, preacher, do I have to continue? Until Jesus Christ returns, or until you breathe your last breath? Then you'll get to go to heaven and everything will be all right. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Here it is. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hey, when we get to heaven one day, it's going to be good. Y'all understand what I'm saying? When Jesus Christ returns, and after that great white throne judgment takes place, and the keys of death and hell are gone, no more death, no more sorrow, all the tears are going to be wiped away. Hey, I believe right now there's tears in heaven. You say, how could you say that? Because I know what the Bible says. We're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. Hey, that cloud of witnesses is our loved ones, the angels, Jesus, God. They're our loved ones who've gone on before us. You think for a second they're not up there cheering us on when we're doing good and shedding tears and begging us to do right? Hey, they are. You don't think there's tears up there of mamas who look down and see their lost babies down here? Oh, but one day there's going to be a great white throne judgment. And all those who don't know Christ will be cast into an eternal lake of fire where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And then lastly, that old devil's going to come and he's going to stand before God and God's going to toss him into the lake of fire. And he's going to say, see, devil, I told you I had the keys the whole time. I won the battle a long time ago. You fought a good fight, but hey, I'm finishing this thing. The devil's going to be cast in. Death and hell's going to be defeated. The doors are going to be locked. Jesus Christ is going to hold the keys. He's going to come back. He's going to wipe all the tears away in heaven, and forever we'll just rejoice. Hey, folks, we got something to look forward to. This ain't it. This is just a little pit stop for eternity. But I'll tell you something. How you spend it down here most certainly will affect you up there. You got some rewards awaiting you. Continue in the things that you've learned. I must learn to abide in the truth of God's word. I must learn to realize all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I believe this, folks. I don't think God accidentally put anything in that Bible. Everybody okay with that? I think every single bit of it was on purpose. And I think, here's something else I'm thankful for. Often, Brother Walter, when I read my Bible, I'll read something and I'll say, that don't quite line up with what I believe. You ever done that before? That don't quite line up with what you should be saying is this. God, that don't line up with how I'm living my life. That thing convicts. Hey, something dead doesn't convict. You know why this thing's so convicting? Because it's alive. And it's perfect. And it's pure. And it's holy. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The reason it's difficult sometimes for me to read this and say, oh, no, that I don't know about. Hey, what that means is this. The Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So, hey, if I read the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God does His job, which He will, and says, hey, there's something in your life that don't quite add up with the way I think you ought to be doing it. Is it time for your faith to waver and say, you know what, God? If you wanted me to serve you, you knew that you were going to have to make an exception here. Ain't that how we think sometimes? God, if you want my whole heart, we sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus, or I surrender all. But really that song should have been written, I surrender all except for. Many of us sang it for years, but we didn't mean that. We sang it because everybody else was singing it. I surrender all except for this sin and this sin and this sin. I surrender all except for that sin. Almost all to Jesus. I'll surrender except what my flesh wants me to do. Hey, anybody else guilty of that sometimes? This preacher sure is. And our faith will waver. Why? Because we think we're above God's Word. We're not. Folks, if we're going to continue in the faith, we got to learn to abide in the truth of God's Word. And if you abide in something, hey, you got to believe it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, back just a few chapters, please. Keeping you close this morning. If I'm going to continue in my faith, I've got to learn to continue in my sufferings. I've got to learn to abide in the truth of God's word. And I've got to learn to utilize the gift that God has given me. See, I believe the Holy Spirit at the time of salvation gave each and every one of us a gift. Now, everybody got the gift of salvation. Everybody okay with that? And the gift of eternal life. But everybody got a spiritual gift also. And we didn't get to choose that. God, see, the Bible says He fearfully and wonderfully made us. And if God fearfully and wonderfully made me, and by the way, I believe God was the, you know, inventor of anatomy. Everybody okay with that? He made this whole thing work. Ain't nobody else ever could have done what He done. I mean, some of you might say, mine ain't working so good. Well, look, here's the deal. God knew exactly what He was doing. Think about it. How intelligent. I mean, we can't even fathom the thought of creating a human being. God did it. Out of dirt. Y'all with me? Out of the dust of the earth. He's a recycler. That's pretty neat. That's what we really are. He's so smart, He created a human being out of dust. There was a brain that came out of the dust. Kidneys that came out of the dust. Lungs. Heart. Bones. Nerves. Blood. Eyes. Ears. Tongue. You name it. Out of the dust of the earth was I formed. Hey, God's pretty intelligent, is He? And if He is smart enough to create me into His likeness and His image, fearfully and wonderfully made me, I think He's pretty wise in choosing our gifts for us. He knew exactly how I was going to use my gift. He knew exactly how you could use your gift. Well, look at this. I'm going to have to continue and utilize the gift that God has given me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I like that part where it says, I put thee in remembrance that there stir up the gift of God. You ever cook something on the stove and walk away? And you know your wife says, hey, can you stir this about every 5 or 6 minutes? Oh yeah, I got that, no problem. Well, about an hour later, you start saying, uh-oh, I forgot to what? Now it's burning on the bottom, it's sticking to the pot. Why? Because you forgot to what? Stir it up. Hey, when you stir it up, guess what? Everything stays fresh. Everything stays smooth. It gets cooked evenly. I don't know the science behind cooking and stirring, okay? But what I'm trying to do is reference something to you. Hey, if you just sit idle and don't utilize the gift that God's given you, stir it up a little bit every now and then. Go out there and put it to work. Refresh, you know, create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit in me. Hey, you know what you're going to do? You're going to sit there and you're going to start stinking. You're going to become worthless. Hey, you ain't going to eat no burnt soup. You ever stuck that ladle in there and you touch the bottom of the pan and it's this thick down there, just hard as a rock, and you're like, I don't know about these potatoes. You get them out of there and they black and they stink, and you're like, this is ruined. All because I didn't what? Stir it. What do you think a Christian does if he don't utilize his gift? He ruins. He becomes spoil. Go to the book of Colossians. I want to show you this. He becomes spoil. Colossians chapter number 2. You say, nah, Christians can't spoil. We're of God. Oh, yes, we can. How can we spoil? Well, look what the Bible says. Colossians chapter 2, in verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the what, church? Faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with what? Thanksgiving. But here's what it is. You say, I can't be spoiled. Oh, yes, you can. Look at this. Beware lest any man, what are those next two words? Spoil you. How can I be spoiled, preacher? Well, there's a few reasons. Through what? Philosophy, and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after what? So I can be spoiled if I take my eyes off the author and the finisher of my faith. You know how your gift's going to be stirred up? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. Listen, and grace. Jesus Christ is light. The more you keep your eyes on the light, the darker the things of the world, the flesh, and the devil will become to you. But the more you keep your eyes on the world and the flesh and the devil, the darker the things of God become to you, and we begin to spoil. And our faith wavers. So I'll ask you this morning, will you continue in your faith? Lastly, this morning, 2 Timothy 1:12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. I must not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Brother Blake challenged you on Wednesday night, and I appreciate him preaching. I'm excited what the Lord's going to do for him. I'm excited he wants to be a preacher. We need more preachers in this world. We need more godly preachers, Bible-believing preachers. Hey, I'd love to see an independent Baptist church in every county in Alabama. You know there's not one in every county in the state of Alabama? Doesn't have an independent Baptist church. How cool would it be to have a ministry out of Red Level to start independent Baptist churches in the state of Alabama and train up and send preachers out of here to go pastor them? Wouldn't that be amazing? Hey, I believe God's got a vision. And where there's no vision, the people what? Perish. Hey, I think that'd be a marvelous thing. But look at what the Bible says. If I'm going to continue in my faith, I must learn to not be ashamed of the gospel. What's the gospel, preacher? It's the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Preacher, there's no way you could ever convince me that I'm ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Oh yeah, well let me ask you this. I'll convince you real quick. When's the last time you told someone about it? Pretty easy to convince you, right? You ain't telling nobody? You're ashamed. Preacher, I'm not ashamed, I promise. I just get nervous. Hey, I'm pretty sure Jesus was nervous when he was getting beat to death, when he was getting spit on and stripped of his garments in front of his own mother and brothers. I'd be pretty nervous in that time, wouldn't you? Preacher, I wasn't called to be a preacher. But you were commissioned the day you got saved. Go ye. And unless you're lost, you're part of that ye. Drives me nuts when people say, I just don't understand that King James Bible, language, ye and thee. That's because it's talking to you, and you don't like that. Understand it. It's simple. It's like 2 + 2. What is it, 5? No, it's 4. Hey, by the way, this thing's written on a 5th grade reading level. Everybody all right? 5th grade. 5th grade. No excuses. I'm not ashamed, preacher. You're not going to tell me I'm ashamed of the gospel. I don't have to tell you. If you're not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're ashamed. And there's something in the Bible that talks about whosoever's ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed. I would hate to get to heaven, Brother Travis, and God look at me and say, you never told a single person about me. You ever ask your kids the question, why'd you do that? And you get that deer in the headlights look. And they say those 3 magic words, I don't know. And you say, if you say I don't know one more time, this and this, and come to, we're going to meet Jesus. Don't know what I'm saying. I hate that answer. I tell my kids, don't tell me you don't know, because you know. But imagine God saying, Drew Barlow, you made it. Thanks to me, by the way. Not to you.
But why didn't you tell anyone about me? Why'd you fall asleep on the things that I wanted you to do? You know, outwardly you told everybody, oh yeah, I love the Lord, I care about you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You were there every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You were there for Sunday school, but you never told anyone about me.
What's your answer going to be to God? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what God's going to say to that. You'll still get in because you came by grace through faith. Thank God. Not thank me. But could you imagine the shame as you're on your knees? You will be on your knees. I believe that. Hey, he told Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Hey, could you imagine even trying to look up and just how ashamed you actually really would be? Hey, I want to greet Jesus with a smile. Although I know I'm not living up to His standard. But I'd like to at least try. And if it means that I tell someone about Him and somebody gets saved, praise the Lord. So I'll ask you this morning, are you willing to continue in your faith? We will suffer, but we must not be ashamed. Yet you can bet people are going to talk. People are going to say things to you. Listen, they're going to hurt your feelings sometimes when you're talking about the gospel of Jesus. They are. They're going to hurt your little feelings. And we all got feelings, and they all get hurt. But here's the thing. Somebody's saying, I don't care about that blankety blank, 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 blank. Listen, that ought not, well, God, you know, you should have told me this was going to happen. You could have warned me. You ever told somebody that? Could have warned me they were going to cuss me out. Could have warned me they were going to slam a door in my face. He did. He said, he came into his own and his own received him not. You remember that verse? He warned us. People are going to do things. The devil's going to make you believe that your ministry's not worth it. But never be ashamed of who you're working for. Hey, remember, the boss man's Jesus Christ. Y'all with me? We're commissioned by Him. Not by me, not by you. We're commissioned by God. I'll end with this. How many ever heard of Carl Hatch before? The old evangelist, Carl Hatch. Anybody ever heard of him? Well, you should look him up. He's got some pretty miraculous stories. He got on an airplane one time and he was notorious for everywhere he went, he would go and ask for a microphone to preach the gospel. He got on an airplane one time and the pilot came across the microphone and said, it's going to be a few minutes before we can take off. They're working on the plane. You know how that is. You ever been on one of them and you sit there for hours? Sometimes because a light bulb's broke. Happened to me once. But anyway, it happened to Carl Hatch one time and he stood up and he walked to the cockpit and knocked on the door. Pilot opened the door and said, can I help you? This is a true story. He said, yeah, my name's Carl Hatch and I work for Jesus Christ and I'm going to need that microphone. He said, excuse me? He said, yeah, my boss man told me I need to come get that microphone for you. I got something to tell these people. He said, I don't know if that's going to work. He said, it ain't up to you, pal. I got to obey my boss man. And the pilot said, what are you doing? He said, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, enough said. He gave him the headset. And for the next 45 minutes, he preached to that entire airplane. Why? Because he wasn't ashamed. He wasn't ashamed. Did the same thing one time. He walked into a Cracker Barrel. You know that lady standing up front that says, Drew, your party of eight is ready? Took her microphone at Cracker Barrel. Said, ma'am, my boss man said you need to give me that microphone at Cracker Barrel. Stood right there in the front of Cracker Barrel and preached the gospel for 30 minutes. Why? Because he wasn't what? Ashamed. You say, how do I know if I'm telling the right person? Every person is the right person. Every person is the right person. Don't let your faith waver. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning, God, for great faith. God, thank you for men and women of God who've gone before us, that we can tell stories like that, Lord, that encourage us. But Lord, mostly thank you for Jesus Christ who's gone before us. Lord, He's enough for us to not let our faith waver, for us to keep going. Now, Lord, I ask you to bless us in our next hour here. Bless the kids this morning.
Pray for Brother Travis and Miss Katie as they do junior church this morning. Lord, what a blessing that is to see them stepping up right there. Lord, that's a huge blessing. Lord, I pray you use them greatly all the days of their life. Lord, I just ask you now to do great and mighty things this morning, Lord, that we know not. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.